You are listening to a podcast of Ice and Fire, episode number 259 for the week of December 20th, 2020. Welcome back, listeners, to the longest-running podcast dedicated to the epic glory of George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire. As always...
This is Ashley. Oh, wait, Mimi.
You're surfing the queen.
He said, as always, and I was like, yeah, okay. I'm trying to find the chapter we're on.
Okay,
right,
you can be,
I'm
maybe you'll be a guest host on this one, yeah. Okay, so sorry. We'll just do it. We'll start doing start with Ashley again.
Here we go.
Leave it all in.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Rewind that a bit. As always,
this is Mimi.
This is Ashley.
This is Amin.
And this is Kyle. I hope Amin left in all of our craziness right there. We shall see when after the edit. All right, everybody, welcome back. We are continuing our longest running reread. We are currently on our Feast for Crows, Dance with Dragons reread. What did we decide we were calling it again? A Dance of Crows. What was it?
I think it was a Feast for Dragons.
A Feast for Dragons.
That's nickname for it.
I'll never remember. And we've got all of us. It's a Christmas miracle.
Hulk her on deck.
Thank you for guest hosting with us today, Mimi.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's I always know how long it's been since the last time I've talked to you guys because I have to reinstall Skype. It's been so long. I've got a new computer.
There you go. Mimi's got five children. Ashley's a United States citizen now. I don't know what's going on anymore. What is happening?
You got your citizenship?
No, but I have a green card.
Okay.
She's in the same country.
I'm a resident.
They're a step closer to meeting Mimi. Yeah. You're in the same country. So.
I was thinking like, oh, this year you wanted to be in America? But I guess you've been here, so.
How's it going, everybody? What do we have news to talk about? What's going on in the world of Song of Ice and Fire here? We all know what's going on in the world, but what about Song of Ice and Fire?
Nothing really books wise. I think there's the whole prequel shows, which I don't really follow anymore. I think there was news on that. There may be a question on that because we actually have a bunch of questions for us that were sent in by the listeners. The fact that the four of us are here, and also like we missed our 12th anniversary of the podcast since that was basically coincided with the start of the pandemic, so we didn't get to have like our own anniversary.
Yeah, it'd be a weird thing to celebrate.
So I have some questions there, but I'm going to move our answers to the end of the episode so we can just get started into our reread.
Starting with A Feast for Crows and not Cersei 4. That's what I've learned. We're doing Cersei 1. We're still at the beginning of this reread. So take us to this chapter recap, Kyle. Or Ashley.
We're doing Cersei first?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cersei first.
Right. So she wakes up from having a nightmare where I think Tyrion's killing her. No, she's on the throne and it's cutting her up and she's naked and Tyrion's laughing at her. And then she wakes up to find out told that Tywin's dead. So she goes there and is having her... This is our first time seeing Cersei's inner monologue, I believe, and seeing how quickly she jumps around from one extreme to the next. And, goes, checks out her dead dad and finds Shay's body, too, and is like, no one's allowed to say that she was ever here or she'll kill them or something. And, yeah, and... wants Jamie to be hand and then doesn't want him to be hand and then wants to destroy the position of hand and then wants Kevin to be hand. So that's Cersei's thought process right there.
This is the first time we
probably
see her in her monologue.
Yeah, Feast for Crows start of it, right? So, I mean, that was kind of shocking when it first came out to suddenly see a chapter from Cersei.
Yeah.
It's kind of odd because you're like, oh, man, she's starting to go nuts. You know, and this, but then you think like, man, I wonder what her brain was like before this started happening, you know, because you just never got.
She seemed a lot more competent until you see it inside her, right? Like the way that she was at least succeeding earlier on. But once you actually get to see her thinking, but you can see that she just has this whether rational or irrational fear of Tyrion, going all the way back to that prophecy. Like she's just always thinking about him.
Yeah. But she's still crazy.
Now, this dream at the start, do you think that there's actually something prophetic about it? Like the fact that, like, she's there and suddenly Tyrion brings her down? Like, she's succeeding first and then... Or is it just a random stress dream?
Well, I mean, see, it's hard talking about any of these chapters because I feel like you guys know a lot more about what goes on down the line, but...
Well, we know what they fabricated for the show.
Oh, we don't worry about the show. Just we're talking about books here.
At this point, the show was doing its own thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, just the dream that she has when she's on the throne and being cut up by it, like, just from the jump, you can see that there is obviously a setup for this reign to be her downfall, right? Just as it is for anybody on the Iron Throne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But clearly that she's not even able to really even, like, have any sort of semblance of command, right? From the way that she is immediately kind of irrational and making bad moves. From the very beginning.
Actually, one of the good reasons why we have Mimi here is for this chapter. Like, it matches well because it kind of dives into Cersei's denial about Tywin. She's like, oh, he never touched any other woman after her mom died. Even though the evidence is, like, right in front of her to the contrary.
Yes!
Yeah.
Mimi was not here for that chapter, so I'm glad she's here for this one.
Wait, I was the Tywin apologist?
Yeah, he said he never went with any other women. There's still evidence either way for the whole setup idea, but that doesn't mean he didn't go with other women. This scenario could have been a setup, but she's just such in denial. Like, with this evidence in front of her, she's like, nah, that's it can't be. Like, what is she doing here? And then Qyburn's like,
he was interrogating her.
Yeah, exactly. He was questioning her. She just, like, jumps
on. That's actually
it.
What Cersei says.
No, well, Qyburn suggested to it. Qyburn is already ingratiating himself. He's like, oh, maybe he was just questioning her. Yes, yes, she was questioning her. And then it has the whole vision of Tyrion saying, yeah, that's how I like to question them.
Yep. He's so guilty. He's such a hypocrite.
Oh, yeah.
Well, argument over. All right, glad we all agree.
This is why I can never run for public office. I'm like, I can't remember my opinion of Tywin. I was probably just.
I know. I feel like you were firmly against him sleeping with whores, and then you went into some stories about your dad or something. I don't know. I don't really remember.
No, because you said he's like her dad, and her dad is against whores too. That was the whole line of logic, right? So.
Yeah, I'm sure anytime I've just read a book in my 20s, I was like, my dad's being stern. Yeah, that's my dad.
But she just has a high opinion of Tywin in general. She's like, oh, one man couldn't have killed him. She's like, he must have been, like, rushed by a couple of guys, and something happened. And
yeah, she has a real denial about a lot of reality, doesn't she? Mm. It seems like she's the type of person who just fabricates her own beliefs and just out of thin air. And it's scary. She seems to me like the type of person who never, like, nothing's ever her fault.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Everything is... Somebody else did that. If it was me, it would have been perfect.
Yeah, or if she does something like she regrets or is cruel to someone, she's like, why did you make me do that? Like that kind of logic, right? Yeah.
Yeah, she does seem really like her whole thing about like, I'm the only true son he's ever had. You know, it does always feel like a lot of her like ego is just this idea of like not being a man, of not having been born a man. And I don't know if that's why like, some of her like angst with Jaime has to do with that, right? Like that he is her just as a man. Mm-hmm. But I do wonder a lot of, you know, her need for power, her motivations just come out of this feeling of like needing to prove herself as a woman in the patriarchy.
Yeah, I am
curious about that, right? Because I think like, oof, that's a bad look. You're doing it all wrong.
That's why it makes it complicated. You're right, because the system is so unjust to all women here pretty much that like you kind of want to like side with her that she's challenging it, but she's just doing it in such an extreme way. That's the book shows different characters fighting that in different ways, but you can see how like she really should have been the heir to Castle of the Rock, right? If it wasn't, you didn't have this sexist system. Like if it was in Dorne, she would have been the heir. She was born first.
Yeah.
Do you think George wanted us to feel bad for her by putting in this prophecy thing? Like, do you think while George was writing that, he was like, oh, people will understand why Cersei's so crazy here and why she's trying to take Tyrion out to save her own life. And Or do you think he was writing it being like, no, I want everybody to think she's batshit crazy?
I think it's to make everyone think she's batshit crazy. I don't think he ever wanted us to have sympathy for her.
But she's definitely like a narcissist, right? I mean,
there's nothing likable about her when you read her POVs.
Yeah, I don't necessarily mean liking her, but like feeling bad or feeling like, well, yeah, if somebody told you, hey, this guy's going to kill you someday, and you went out of your way to make sure to eliminate that person, like, are we supposed to like feel that for Cersei? Are we supposed to be like, oh, well, I understand why she's trying to kill Tyrion so much now. Like, I don't know.
I think it's the right question. The answer I don't know, but I think it's the right question. And see, like, is George trying to make her somewhat sympathetic? He's not trying to redeem her. Like, I guess the parallel was that Jamie also. Well, it was from the third book. Jamie came in and everyone hated Jamie, and then he was kind of redeemed in the fandom. But that didn't happen with Cersei. But was not it even yet. Intended? I don't know. I think it's her Targaryen roots showing probably.
So Cersei does her walk of shame in Dance of Dragons, right?
Yeah, so this actually kind of sets up for that.
Foreshadows that, right?
Yeah, foreshadows.
Like when she's naked on the throne.
Yeah, she will end up having to go the same. Oh, that's interesting. Just tying into the dream itself. Although Tyrion is not directly responsible for that, but yeah, the nakedness.
Yeah. Yeah, but that, you know, she's on the Iron Throne and then she realizes that she's naked and everyone's laughing at her. I think, like, well.
Cool, because she also refers to that happening to, like, her grandfather's mistress.
And that, right, exactly. Here.
That's what I thought you were talking about, but there is that parallel, I guess. But I guess...
No, that's what I was thinking on the throne. I was like, is that something... That definitely happened in Dance, right? Not Beast, but it did seem like one of those things where, like, that fear of... It's not even a fear of being, like, hurt so much as a fear of, like, public ridicule, humiliation.
Yeah, being vulnerable, right? Like, well, they talked about that later. I don't know who talked about that later, but like they said, like, after, like, that happened to Cersei, they're like, oh, she's lost her power. Everybody from, like, the lowest guy on, like, Fleabodden has seen her naked and marching in the street. She's lost her power or something like that. Somebody talks about that. Maybe it was Kevin himself, I think, that talks about that. But I don't think she is. I think at the end of the fifth book, she's kind of just, like, rebooted and is just going to go underground. And, like, she still wants to get her goals, just change a little bit.
So that just makes me think, like, do you think she's going to end up cut up in pieces? Or do you think it's going to be more like the prophecy that the life will be choked out of her?
I think it'll be like the prophecy, I think, but it's hard to say. The symbolism here is just like the fact that she's chopped into pieces is more just the throne is rejecting her. Like, that's the whole concept. Mm-hmm. If you're not worthy. So it doesn't need to be that she also be that'll happen to us. Just showing that she's not worthy to be here.
Right. Hmm.
Then she just has ridiculous views on everything. That's why I'm just saying that, like, she's talking about, like, I think Marguerite Tyrell, and she's like, oh, well, like, Renly might have been gay, but he would have still done it. And it's like, what? Like, Cersei? I think you get that line there?
She is projecting.
But with her meeting Qyburn here, too, I thought, like, oof, that is a match made in heaven, right?
Yeah. Qyburn does well for himself just to ingratiate himself and he's a smart guy. Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
There's so many lines in this chapter too that was just like, you know, with this being her first chapter, her first POV chapter where you were just like, damn, like, damn you a bitch. But you're also just like chaotic and so spiteful for like no reason, right? Like, I mean, just obviously with her being like, you know, critical and suspicious and, you know, paranoid or whatever, but there was all these like other moments where she would just like feel spiteful.
Mm. I'm trying to think, is there ever any chapters where she's like happy and, you know, nice? I feel like they're all just her being confused. Mean.
We're about to find out going through this book. but yeah, no, I guess I was just thinking, I feel like there was a they're just being in the Tower of the Hand and going like, this tower has too many steps. It sounds like me. She's like, she had half a mind to tear it down. So like, why are you so chaotic? Just everything is bumming her out all the time. But like, this moment where she's thinking about that moth.
Hmm. Yeah, she thinks about it a few times.
Die already.
Yeah.
she's just so angry.
Or just like, you know, when she considered just like getting rid of the position of hand.
Yep. She's like, I'm going to get rid of hand. I'm going to get rid of that moth. I'm going to get rid of this tower. I'm going to get rid of my little brother. Ugh.
Ruling, apparently. But, you know, yeah, it's very, very reactive and vindictive. It's weird. It's a weird space to be in her mind.
I don't like it. Get me out.
But you could tell from this first chapter that she was not going to do well holding down the fort, right? With her dad.
Yeah.
Dad, with her being queen regent, like that clearly she was not going to execute the office.
Oh yeah. Well, immediately. I mean, the very first thing, yeah, her being unworthy. We're just shown that right off the bat.
Hmm. Yeah.
But that she couldn't even maneuver it. The way that it seemed like, you know, from the beginning, even with like, in Game of Thrones, you know, the way that she maneuvered with Ned, it just seemed like she was in command or in control, right? And I know that's what we talked about, that, you know, from an outside perspective, when you're not in her own head. And certainly the death of her son might have had something to do with some of these paranoid reactions, but it did seem like she was a lot more cold and calculating and a lot less reactionary, but... Mm-hmm. Not a good look, Cersei. That's my conclusion on this chapter.
You're here.
What we got next?
We got Tyrion 1 from A Dance of Dragons.
All right. Ashley, you want to recap this?
No, I don't like Tyrion.
Oh! Wowza. All right, so in this one, Tyrion drinks his way across the Narrow Sea. And... they're kind of sneaking them, and you find out heading to Pentos. And he sort of dropped off behind the walls of Illyrio Mopatis's house. His, what would you call it? His chateau, his place of residence. And the two of them do a little chatting, a little chit chat. And we find out. Did I skip? Where did I go? Oh, Stannis. And how did it end? Oh, yes. We learn that part of the plan is Illyrio is going to send into Daenerys. It's like, so that's this chapter in a nutshell.
Yeah, reading this chapter now in this sort of reread format, it makes a lot more sense the way it just goes from Cersei and that event, mm-hmm. going right to Tyrion. Like, the issue with reading Tyrion in Dance of Dragons is we all read him years after we'd read A Feast for Crows. We forgot that Tyrion had just killed his father. Like, his mindset mm-hmm. was still in that earlier book. Yeah, we had all moved on. So I think it fits, it makes a lot more sense when you read it now. You're like, okay, he's just killed his father. He's just killed Shay. This is him now in that kind of, like, aftermath.
It does sense, too, like, after Cersei's chapter... Like when you do the reading in this order, like you were supposed to before your podcast recording session, when you read them back to back, it's like Tyrion's very much in his own head. It's kind of parallel to Cersei's, you know, behavior, right?
Mm.
Like.
Absolutely.
But of course, I mean, they both have, well, their father has died, and they're both obviously very entangled in the situation. So it kind of seems like the way that they're both reacting to it. But you're right. It makes a lot more sense in a chronological procession as opposed to going like, well, he was a lot funnier, I remembered, in the previous book I read a decade ago.
Is that why you don't like him, Ashley? Or like, or is it more his actions in the fifth book?
His actions. He's a horrible person.
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was the chapter that he just, like, I don't know if he actually sleeps with this servant or not. He does that in another one where he just, like, uses her really horribly and stuff. Like, things that would be, like, that would be, like, whitewashed out of the show because they want him to be perfect, right? But it just seemed that, yeah, his actions are not good in this book, right?
Yeah, not good.
How long is the trip across the Narrow Sea?
Not that long, actually, between Pentos and here, right?
I don't know. We talking weeks? We talking...
Let's look at the map again.
It's narrow. Can't be that long. I'm just thinking about how long Tyrion is, like, just drunk and coping with, like, not having any interaction with anybody or anything and stuck on a boat after he kills his
maybe
father.
Maybe a week?
Yeah, I would think it would be within a week, if not shorter. It is not that long.
Yeah. I don't know how fast their boats are.
Yeah, it depends on them. Are they going at full speed or is the weather pushing them back? I think there was bad weather for a while, but it is close. It's surprisingly close to Bentos.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, so you have that mentality. And then so in most of the chapter, Tyrion is thinking, where do I go? Do I go north or south? Do I go to the wall or do I go to Dorne? And then he ends up being given this eastern option. Like he also realizing south is not the way to go. That's not going to get him anywhere. North is going to be boring. Like, what's he going to do up there? So he gets, I think part of his problem is he doesn't know what he's going to do. But then this mentality, like this of his, like post Tywin killing mentality still drags on for many chapters later, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, definitely does. Sorry, I'm looking at this line from Varys and Tyrion interacting. He would have taken the crossbow from my hands, as once he took Tysha from my arms. He was rising when I killed him. I killed Shay too, he confessed to Varys. You knew what she was. I did, but I never knew what he was. Varys tittered. And now you do. Ugh! Gets me so angry. And it gets me angrier that Mimi's not arguing the other way.
Oh, sorry. I was just trying to read read up.
I thought she was so against that idea. And now, Mimi, you've failed me. go. So, yeah.
You just wanted to fight, huh?
I just wanted to fight. I wanted to feel something.
I think part of the... You can reconcile this whole... Before, the whole situation was you thought that either Tywin was sleeping with her and it was just a complete fluke that Tyrion went up there. But it can be like Tywin was sleeping with her, but still Varys set him up to go up there to kill him. Like, it could have still been that combination. Whereas before it was one way...
Oh, yeah. Well, you know they had that that comment before, right? Like, another hand used that path to the brothel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it could have been Tywin.
Could have been, yeah. So this is the new Mimi. She's not fighting this issue.
She's like, yeah, I don't know. Sleeping with every hoe.
Yeah. If you look at his history here, I mean, even this chapter, the way that he went, like what he actually did to Tysha or Tisha, like, is so extreme that it makes you think that Tywin really was into that kind of bad, like, maybe he was, like, sexually violent or whatever. Like, he wouldn't care that it was, like, who Shay was. Maybe he even enjoyed it.
So he's nasty.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so into it. That's so his kink.
That's what Varys is saying there, I think, right? So, but even with all that, Varys could have still set him up in the sense that he might have still brought Tyrion close enough that Tyrion would go kill him. Like, that's a possibility to kind of push him over the edge.
But, I mean, if you're into escorts, just say it, man. Like, don't be this repressed and weird about it. It seems like everybody back... Back in this era was, you know, giving brothels good business, especially all the,
It's not just escorts as Mimi, it's his son's whores.
Yeah.
That's the kink.
Yes, the escorts part was just, he couldn't be seen happening to him. Well, especially when the Mad King was there. He wouldn't want the Mad King joking about him visiting a brothel. I can see why he would have secretly want to go there, but.
Yeah, but that's the thing, like, I would think, yeah, if he was using the Chitaya's brothel or whatever in King's Landing, then that wouldn't have been anything that Tyrion would have been involved in, you know?
Yeah.
But it also wouldn't surprise me if Shay had found some way to social climb to find a more influential...
Yeah, she had just been rejected by Cersei, like, the night before. So Shay going there makes total sense. The idea of the setup was whether Shay just showed up there and just was waiting in his bed. He hadn't even come back yet.
Bullshit.
Because that would have, like, why is he, like, speaking that way when he's on the toilet if he knows that Tyrion has already seen Shay there? Like, that's the whole reasoning of there. But it could be he just doesn't care. He's just like, whatever. Like, he doesn't think that Tyrion has actually fallen in love with her. He thinks that Tyrion's just like him. So then he's just like, whatever. Like, he doesn't.
Does he think that?
I don't know. Like that's why it gets confusing of like where they actually were. It also could be he just cares so little. He didn't even care that it was his Hun whore. He just doesn't care.
Like, yeah, maybe.
I'm kind of in that boat.
Yeah. Come on, get a kinky mind going here.
That's one of the disappointments of this chapter is this whole idea of the book. I mean, our friends at Boiled Leather, like the, you know, our buddies over there, Sean and Stefan, they always view the books like from a really like 21st century perspective. I try not to do that, or you can't really enjoy them. Like, they're so alien to what it is going right now. I just try to read them, but still, reading this chapter with the whole idea, I guess Illyrio saying that we're going to bring a new leader to the West and things are going to change. It's going to make a better system, and yet even in this place, they're not supposed to have slaves. And he's saying, "Oh, you can have any woman you want here. Do what you want." It's like this is better. So it makes it disappointing to read that here. I don't know if George is being a realist on that sense.
I think it's just people with money will always be able to make people below them their slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Even though without money will always be exploited, whether or not it's in the name of slavery or exploitation.
Class analysis. That's what we're here
for. Well, I guess Illyria is saying, so they're not my slaves, but if they refuse, I'll just kick them out, and then they'll have no food, basically. No one will be, they get kicked out of this place, maybe no one else will hire them, or there's just no opportunity for them. So they're in essence, they're a step above slaves, but basically they're the same slaves. They can't refuse them.
No minimum wage laws.
But it does make Braavos seem interesting. Like, Braavos forced Pentos to, it was one of the terms of the treaty, to ban slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So Illyrio's servants here, the fact that they don't, or at least this washerwoman doesn't talk, right?
Right.
She understands, though. I think she reports to Illyrio. I think she just pretends not to understand.
Because yeah, Tyrion says later, like, oh, she understands more of the common tongue than I thought, or something. I think he said something along those lines. Yep.
Well, the courtesan girl, like, said she was bought for the king. I didn't understand. But which king did they mean? Did they mean Robert? Robert never went over there, did he?
Wait, the king or the prince?
They say the king, don't they?
Do they? I thought it's
the prince. It would make more sense if it was the prince. But they say the king and she speaks the common tongue.
Maybe she got her words mixed up.
I guess that's not
her first language.
But why would they have cared that they got somebody who speaks the common tongue for the prince? Like, why would he care? So I don't, that was interesting.
Well, which king are they referring to?
That's my question. Which king are they? Are they somehow referring to Aegon?
Does she say king? I don't remember.
Maybe
that.
She was
prince.
Bought for,
the text
Viserys.
That says, oh, Viserys. Oh, okay. That's maybe. Interesting. That makes sense. Maybe if they were referring to him as king while he was there.
Yes, okay. My lord, I was supposed to please the king. Okay.
Okay. That makes a little bit more sense. Interesting. Speaking of languages, Tyrion talks about how he learned how to read High Valyrian from a maester when he was a kid. I'm wondering how common is that in Westeros? Is that just a Tyrion?
I think for nobles, it's pretty normal.
Is it because of the Targaryens? Like, they want to kind of suck up to them?
Yeah.
So could Tywin read Valyrian?
I would think so.
Probably not Jaime, though.
Mm-hmm.
I was just curious, sorry, I know this is kind of a throwback, but just the washerwoman not saying anything to him. I was just thinking there was an old woman in Dany's early chapters that was silent while taking care of her, and I wonder if it was the same person. I imagine he's got a lot, but it did kind of...
Yeah, you're right. It could be the same kind of... I don't know if they made an overt reference to kind of be like, this is the same character that was before.
Well, I wonder, you know, when he says he's got like little birds and stuff in King's Landing, I wonder if he's just got people that are like mutes, you know?
Well, and speaking of the High Valyrian, I guess it's kind of like the Latin. So I guess like exactly like some of the nobles would learn a language that nobody else uses in Westeros.
I can imagine people talking and being a little bit more cavalier around people that don't talk, right? Just by default, but that, I don't know. It was just a thought.
Yeah, like Victor Aan and his dusky woman. Not bright.
But yeah, the way that Tyrion treats servants and stuff in here, the way that he talks to people, I think, like, I know he's really going through it, but man, it's just like...
Well, you're an asshole.
Yeah, I mean, I understand being drunk and being shitty or whatever, but like, you know. And no, maybe I don't understand killing your dad and then how you would act after that, but just the...
And also the woman you loved. Don't forget that part.
Yeah, see, but that's on him. He chose to do that.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I'm sure what he's gone through with, you know, his brother and just narrowly escaping and the deal with Shay and Tywin. I think like that's obviously a lot. It's a lot to take in, but I just, I don't know, the way that he's treating people in this, I think like, well, you know better than Cersei.
Well, he is not in a good place right now. I'll be the advocate here. I just
but if you're a servant in Illyria's palace, you're probably also not in a good place. So,
I mean, maybe we don't know how much they're getting paid.
Bold of you to assume they're getting paid.
It feels like he's just treating people like he is the only character, and they're all NPCs or something. You know, yes. like he's just talking to people like they don't fucking exist. You know, it's crazy, which is so unlike him before. I'm not saying he's got to be empathetic or anything, but like the way that he's lashing out.
I think we'll have to revisit this issue when we get to the actual, because I remember there being a scene where he actually does sleep with one of these servants or later on, and he's really bad. I guess we can revisit that at that time, since he hasn't actually done it here.
He would definitely be able to get off on a plea of insanity right now with the shit he's been through. I just watched A Time to Kill the other day. And I don't know if you guys have seen that movie, but bad shit happens to Sam Jackson's daughter. And so he takes the law into his own hands and he murders some dudes. And they have a plea of insanity going on there. I know this is fiction, but it just made me think of this movie right here. Like, Tyrion could totally get off on a plea.
What is it called again?
I'm pretty sure insanity plea doesn't work like that.
I was going to say that Mimi's just had a few bad tests. She can tell you how that works.
Yeah, I mean, well, according to this fictional movie I watched, it can work that way.
Think
they were going to go on trial, and I mean, there's a lot of racial issues in that movie. And when they're movie spoilers, when they're walking into the courtroom, he guns them down and he kills them, and then he's on trial in the movie, and his defense is a plea of insanity, and they talk about like the state of mind he was in after what happened to his daughter and everything. And
you have to go through metal detectors to get into a courtroom.
This was a while back.
Small town or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
I feel like, wasn't that the plot of an SVU episode too?
Probably,
yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even watch it. I just heard about it in another podcast. So let me how disconnected is this? But like, I guess he had played a psychiatrist who was counseling or something. Someone who had killed his son.
Okay.
And he had to like basically testify that dude had like a blackout moment of insanity, that he didn't know what he was doing. But then I guess as he was leaving the courtroom, this is me just saying this based on an episode of a podcast. I never even watched.
Hey, I've been basing mine on a movie I watched with Sam Jackson.
But I think that the guy had given him a look like, no, I know what I was doing. And you just got me off scot-free. And then I guess he does shoot that kid.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah, he gives him he steals a nearby police officer's pistol and shoots that kid with it. And then when he is charged with murder, he uses insanity defense or something.
And what I'm saying is, you know, when you killed your own dad and you murdered the woman you love because she was sleeping with your father, and then you treat people worse than you do before and you're really mean, I can understand where some upset, thoughts are coming from.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean that you should accept it or not, but I think that's what George is trying to show. Like, he's not doing this for no purpose. George is showing this is the after effect of this incident.
Right.
And I don't want
to defend him. Like, don't be, you know, be nice to people. But the guy's been through some shit, and his brain is not in the right place right now.
And that's why people were surprised, because it had been so long for everybody else. They thought, why isn't Tyrion over this yet? But he's not, because he's still... This is immediate for him, right? Like, but we had like a 6-year break.
But it's been 12 years. I mean,
I'm over it. I've started a whole family in the time it's taken him to think about where horrors go obsessively.
How are you guys going to feel when the next book comes out? Are you going to like be so excited and read it immediately? Or are you going to like casually pick it up and be like, all right, well, I guess it's finally time.
I'll be excited.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it depends on the date, right? Like, I hope that when it's announced that it's going to come out, I will have time to go back and do a full reread of everything to get back.
Well, you read a book in, like, 2 days, right?
Well, it's a lot harder now. There's a lot more going on these days. But yeah, no, I would have to do the reread, but I think like once you're in it, like it's, you do get so excited about it, especially because I don't know what's happening next, you know? And
yeah,
I mean, I guess theoretically y'all don't know what's happening next either, but yeah, no, I imagine that I owe it to the podcast, right? For us to,
yes,
to run through it. How quickly did we get to dance after it came out?
I think we did within a couple of weeks. We had an episode on it we had it within August, I think, and it came out late July.
You know what would be, I mean, I'm sure a lot of podcasts would be doing this already, but to do a podcast session as you read, right?
Oof.
I mean, assuming you're not just inhaling the whole book in one go, which seems like it would be. Yeah.
I don't think I could read only two chapters every week. <or something.
laughs> we'd have to
an emergency pod session.
We'd have to actually hold ourselves back from finishing, like reading more.
Do what Ashley did, didn't you? Weren't you making videos when you were reading Death Dragons on our YouTube stuff?
Well, I'd do it differently. I'd probably do like TikTok videos nowadays, like little snippets. That would work.
Oh, probably. Ashley's dancing on TikTok.
Okay, well, just a couple of quick things on this chapter, I guess, before we wrap up. But the one thing was just the food. Let's talk about something positive. The food's even better than anything in Westeros.
Mushrooms.
Well, Tyrion said he's never ate better. The mushrooms is a reference to Tyrion. I guess he took the poison mushrooms, I guess, to have an option if he wanted to kill himself, especially if he was going to be sent somewhere to be tortured. Mm-hmm. I think that's why he was doing that. But Lyra knows even about that. He's trying to say, well, are you going to get out of this rut or not? Because we have a use for you if you get to work with us.
I did think, like, when Illyrio is just eating hot peppers and onions from a bowl, I said, "Are you psycho?"
Even the most unappetizing food, I read it in this book, and I'm like, "Oh God, I just want to eat a raw onion." Nom 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 nom.
I'm not sure about that cold egg lime soup, though.
That statue you see, I think that's Illyrio when he was a youth. I think, if I recall correctly. He used to be like a, I don't know if he was like a Bravosi type fighter in Pentos. He was just like a young fighter guy. But I guess he had too much of this food for 30 years.
Really? Why do you think that?
I think that's mentioned either earlier or later at some point. Like, I know that Illyrio's history, he was a young type, like, he wasn't that rich. He was some like kind of like bravado young guy, and then he worked with Varys, and they both got rich, I think. That's the story of their teamwork.
But doesn't Tyrion say there's a bunch of those statues around?
Is there more than one? Well, one of them is his, so. I think.
Okay.
Well, even the clothes that Tyrion has, I think they give him clothes that were like a young boy's clothes. I think that's hinted to maybe that was Aegon's clothes, potentially.
Really? Well, I think you're just making this shit up now.
I think I'm drawing upon things I read a long time ago. I'm trying to remember. I think the concept that Aegon is Illyrio's son. Is the theory, and so he swapped him in to be like this fake Aegon.
Then we learn about the prince. They bring a prince in, and then if there's a bad harvest, they kill him.
Yeah, another prince. It sucks. That's why nobody wants to be. There's a guy who left. Remember, there's like I think the leader of the Cell Swords. He was chosen to be prince, and he ran away from Pentos.
I guess that's about right. That job sucks.
Yeah, but he gets to bang two girls in every New Year, so.
I guess the first New Year. Like, if anything goes bad after that, this is the opposite of the White House.
He better.
He wants a recount. This is fraud. I was not selected. That's what he would say. I was not selected.
I was not selected for this.
But so yeah, this is when he brings up Dany, right?
Yep.
He's supposed to be stronger than Tommen, gentler than Stannis, better claim, and so they're gonna send him east.
We'll see about that, because I remember Dany being kind of batshit by the end of Dance.
I remember being very excited by this. It was like, oh shit, they're gonna meet. Yeah,
I know. There's
so many fake outs in the book, though. That's a problem.
Keep reading the book, trying to see them when they meet, and we're gonna get there. And then at the end, it's like, oh.
But, well, both of y'all are so unlikable at the end of this book.
I think Tyrion, by the end of the book, actually, if I remember, like, I think Tyrion's fine by the end of the book. It's just the question is, it depends on each person. Can you accept his route getting there? I think he gets over it by the end of the book.
Well, good for him. All the people he heard on the way.
He lost Ashley. Too late.
Yeah, he already lost Ashley's support. So he can't count on her support in the Senate, but he can still.
Nope.
A vote of no confidence. Oh, sorry, my Star Wars is showing. Excuse me. Yeah, so there we are. Remember, I get quite excited.
Just one final reference is the coin with the Volantis, a crown on one face and a death on the other. I thought that was kind of cool. It's almost like the coin.
Yeah.
Two-Face would use, maybe. The Queener is the killer.
Yeah, I kind of like that, the Queener is the killer. Like, that kind of makes up, kind of answers a question like, oh, why can't Marcella, why can't we get her in Dorne to be queen? It's like, ah, because that'll just kill her. Mm. Cool. Anything else?
Nope, not in mind.
Awesome. Well, there we are. It will be a long time before all four of us are on again.
No, we can. I can squeeze in another one before school starts. I'm sure.
There you go. When does school start?
January 19th.
Sure, the January then.
Yeah, they pushed it back because they canceled our spring break. But yeah, that means I get a month off. So if you guys want to link back in a couple of weeks.
Perfect. Sure. Let's do it.
I'll do it. Awesome.
All right.
Well, thank you for listening, everybody. You can do the send off, Mimi.
No. It's you. I don't even know all our social media names.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this episode of A Podcast of Ice and Fire. It was great to have all four of us together in the same room, sort of. Here we are. As always, make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at APOIAF. We're having some problems with the forums now, but we are working on resurrecting that from the dead, so hopefully we can get that back up and running again. And we'll see you next time, everybody.
See you next time.
Awesome. Bye.
And then I'm going to record this in case somehow the forums get up in the next couple days. I'll give it a shot. So if somehow I get the forums back up or Mr. Korb helps, then the forums are back up and I'll stick this at the end of the episode. In terms of where people are hanging out, they're hanging out on Discord right now. We have a Discord server.
What?
Oh, that's right. Did you send it to me? Because I would actually be on Discord.
I have used Discord.
All right, let me send it to you right now then. Okay. Let's see how I do that.
Amin, way to bury the lead. Yeah, but 12th anniversary, I mean, that's not like a milestone anniversary.
I feel like anything above 10 is doing pretty good.
Yeah.
It's like 10 and then 20, 50.
Well, we might not make it to 20. News.
Oh, man. See what happens. My gray hair's coming
out. I'll still be waiting for Winds of
War. That George has made a blog update.
Did he?
With a Hemingway quote. Oh, yeah, it just says there's nothing to writing. All you do is sit down at a typewriter and bleed. And it Jesus. Looks like he's stressed out. George, what's up to?
He was locked away in like a cabin for a part of this year, like during the whole lockdown. He was just typing away. Well, I guess let's go into the questions, because the first question kind of links into that. It's just Matt Varley is asking, will the podcast continue? I don't know if he's referring that it's not been releasing that often. I thought we'd be okay this year, but how long do you think the podcast will continue, I guess, is the question. What's their goal here?
I think the question is, what's going to be the inciting event that ends it?
We're still trying. Dude, we are going through this podcast like George is writing this next book, just taking our sweet pace. Time.
Snails, we're all too polite. Yeah, I think we're all too polite to be like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to do this anymore. You all just send emails being like, you going to show up? Yeah, I guess I'm going to show up. You going to show up? Okay, let's do it.
I think that as long as there's this reread going, like let's say we finish this combined reread and there's still no book, then hiatus seems good to me. Like, what else is there to talk about? But that's
you. Like, you mean that you would still not even commit to ending the podcast? You would say, no, we would just go on hiatus.
Because we don't want to lose the longest running podcast thing. We don't lose that. So we'll just go on permanent hiatus.
No, you're right.
And come back.
You're right.
We've done a hiatus before, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long was that?
2009 or something?
Yeah, it was almost a year. It was almost a year, and then we came back, and Kyle joined around then. I think he just mm-hmm. came around.
Oh, you guys took a hiatus before I was around. Okay.
Yeah,
I don't even remember why. I don't know if it was just like had too much stuff going on.
I just remember sending you guys an email being like, am I still on the podcast?
I think it was bouncing back from Ashley's email yet, and then you got a new email or something. You lost your email for a while. It's... Kyle, you might have helped bring it back. I'm sure that you were sending emails saying, I want a guest host, and maybe we're like, we may as well get this thing going again, let that Kyle guy on here.
With this creepy dude.
There we go. Kyle's just a relentless, you know, brain behind the podcast, but... Kyle's the lifeblood, you know. I mean, yeah, I guess as long as there are books to talk about, I will be dipping in, not having read them. You know what you can count on me for. But no, I mean, I just imagine that. Yeah, how many podcasts have been around since 2008? Right? Not a lot.
They're still running. Yeah. All right.
We definitely take our sweet ass time. But yeah, I mean, we've got these books to talk about. That's going to take us another, 5 years to get through these. And then, and then next book might be out. And I mean, if this prequel show comes, you know, people will probably be hitting us up for stuff again. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, as long as they send us the Maester's Box, whatever the equivalent of that is.
We're still bitter about this, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah, you know how much those things are worth on eBay now? We could be selling them right now.
Putting us through the coronavirus crisis, man.
Yeah. Christ.
Well, let's go on to another question here. This is from Jonathan Eigen. He's asking, will Mimi's children be in elementary school, middle school, or high school when Winds of Winter is released?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, at this rate, right? It's just inconceivable to me that I even have two whole kids, let alone kids that are, because my older one's going to go to school next year. So I'm hoping elementary school, but, you know, you never know with the way George is going. I'm glad to know that he's safe and he's tucked away somewhere, though. That was definitely one thing I was worried about during the pandemic, which I know is weird, but I was just like, please stay safe, George.
I'm going to say middle school, but Mimi's kids skip a couple of grades of the whole Tiger Mom thing. They're gonna
well, not with the amount of TV they've been getting during this pandemic. So.
Tiger Mom? What?
Yeah, have you ever heard of that, Kyle?
No. What is this?
Oh, this lunatic Yale professor wrote a book about abusing her children. But it was just about how
I thought this was a Charlie Sheen thing.
No.
Oh, no. It was just about Asian parenting and like the, you know.
Oh.
At a very high level of academic expectations for their kids. Not me. I'm married to a white person, so.
Well, that's the extreme.
So you know your children aren't going to be as good? Is that what it is?
The tiger lady or whatever is the extreme, which is not good. But the general concept is just when education is favored in your family, odds are you may have more of it. Like that's just or in your culture, right? That is statistically cannot be denied. Like if you look at it,
yeah.
Like, but you don't want to take it in the stream.
Yeah, that's true.
But then he said, seriously, is there any other books or series that have approached your love for A Song of Ice and Fire?
What are books?
Or other fandoms, maybe, I guess, Kyle, if you're talking
about. Well, you're in a bunch of fandoms, right? I mean, like.
Yeah. Like, I'd say, like, you know, the whole anime manga thing, I'd say One Punch Man. Really like that, mm-hmm. Especially the manga. If you're talking about science fiction, Isaac Asimov's works, they're old, but they're still good. And Anne McCaffrey as well. So those are some of the writers that I like.
Hmm.
I think, like, you know, Chenna Mayville has always been my favorite author still. But it's kind of hard because I would think, like, his stuff's still so just, like, he's a very gifted writer. But it's also not really something I can read over and over again, right? It's not like some stuff is like, I understand why people love Harry Potter so much. Like people devote their entire lives to Harry Potter. I think like one, because they've never read another book. But, you know, with the second part of that is just being like, it's enjoyable to read, right? Like there's things that feel good about it. It's like, you know, the way that people have guilty pleasure read, but think that there's a, like the element of storytelling in Harry Potter. Like it does that, you know, and Tolkien's books too. I think that there would be certain things that are enjoyable to read. And I think like Song of Ice and Fire sometimes strikes me as one of those book series. It's not necessarily like it's wonderfully written, but it also I don't know if it's one of those books that you just finish reading and then you just get into over and over and over again, right? Like you can with Harry Potter, but Mieville's books are like, they don't feel good, right? So I think that that is something that it's hard. I mean, obviously there wouldn't be a fandom when there's something that's kind of gritty and difficult. And I think his books kind of strike me as the sort. But I don't know a lot of other fandoms that I'm particularly.
What about you, Carl or Ashley?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I haven't read too much. Sorry, I'm looking at trying to look over my shoulder at my bookshelf. I feel like I haven't really gotten into anything else as much as I've gotten into this one. I think that's pretty obvious. But I do enjoy comic books. I read those aplenty. I'm a sucker for the superhero classics like X-Men and Justice League and stuff. And currently right now, Jonathan Hickman is writing X-Men, the main X-Men book, and I really enjoy his work. So I'm enjoying that at the moment. Yes. And as I'm also enjoying The Expanse on Amazon at the moment, but I haven't read the books. I don't like to mix
my... I have a lot of friends in that fandom. They're really into it.
Nice.
Is it good? Good?
Yes. Yes, it is. I highly recommend it. I don't mix my medias anymore ever since this Game of Thrones book debacle thing. It's just too much of a headache. So I'm watching the show. Yeah, exactly. And all the people are throwing in my... So they're like, oh, you like The Expanse, but you haven't read the books. You're not a real fan. And so I'm watching the show. And when that's over and done with, I plan to dive into the books. And I'm very excited for that day when it comes. So,
I might look into that. I don't know. I watched The Boys not too long ago on Prime, and I really liked it. And it's not really my genre at all. So,
well, definitely not like The Expanse. Those are very different shows. But I love The Boys. The Boys was great. I loved it.
It's kind of like an anti-hero thing, right?
Yeah.
What about you, Ashley?
Well, I mean, I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft right now, so I guess you could say I'm in that fandom at the moment. And I've been kind of into the Broadway fandom, too, which is just, you know, being really into musical theater. So no new medias, really.
Okay.
It's a bunch of nerds.
Yeah. Did I tell you about that time I met Lin-Manuel Miranda, Ashley?
No. No, you have to.
No, it's not. There's no story. He was at work one day, and they were sneaking him into a little skit, and so he had to hang out for like a few minutes, and he hung out by my office, by my place of work.
Cool.
And I had not seen Hamilton, so I was like, hey, I know who you are, but...
He wrote that Moana song.
did he?
Yeah, he did Moana.
Oh. So I was basically just like, hey, you seem like people like you. He was a nice guy.
Which, did all the songs in Moana? Or?
I think the majority of the sung ones.
I was just curious because I got to listen to that shit all day long. So.
Yeah, I think he might have had help with some, but I'm pretty sure he's the main credit for the songs.
That makes sense.
Interesting. Okay.
All right, Amin, what's the next question?
We got a lot of Mimi-centric questions, but that makes sense. She hasn't been here. But they're all enjoyable to hear. So we have another question here from Brian saying, now that Texas is officially a purple state, how long until Mimi finishes law school and becomes a U.S. senator? My money is
on her
love of Pokemon and progressive values over Beto's love of mediocre punk rock and centrist policies.
I'm sure he has seen me being on Facebook all the time, which I need to stop. That's funny because I would think, I would never be able to run for public office because this podcast exists.
This podcast ruined all chances of that.
Yeah, there's no way. I can't even listen to anything that I said in 2008 because I guarantee you it was stupid. I was walking around wearing a shirt that said white power in 2009. I was not even a teenager at that point. So,
hey, it's a purple state. It doesn't matter. Once it becomes purple, you're just on team A or B. Like, they don't care what your history is. Like, one thing the elections show is once you're on one team, the whole team votes for you.
That's only true with Republicans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Only for Republicans. Liberals will cancel you for anything, and I have said a lot of cancel.
It's two extremes. It's like one would dox you for everything, and one cancels you for anything. Like, neither one is good.
I don't think Texas is purple yet, but
Getting close though.
I think it was just the anomaly of you know, the coronavirus situation, and I don't even think I really don't think that Trump would have lost if it wasn't the case, you know. They love him. But I know that it's really hard for an incumbent president to hold their seat in like an unprecedented economic downturn. So,
well, Texas has got all these Bay Area companies moving down there now.
I know, that's what I hear. Everybody seems to get so pissed about it. I feel like there's all these like billboards out here in Dallas. It's just like a
Elon Musk, we welcome you.
Yeah, just kind of some talking shit to like keep your California out of my Texas or whatever. I'm like, weird.
What a world.
I know.
What a country. Welcome, Ashley.
Yeah, my dumbass. What country are you in now, Ashley? No, what state are you in now?
Illinois. I'm just outside Chicago. Cool. Yeah.
That's right. And who knows where I mean is, right? Carmen San Diego.
I'm the only one in Canada now, but Ashley is staying close to the border, so she has an easy escape route.
Except now the border's closed and they can't get back.
Oh, that's true. They probably let you across. Let's see. This is an interesting one from, he says, George has been known to write in a few cameos. If you could have yourself written in as a cameo into the story, what kind of character would you be? What kind of impression would you leave? Or what kind of death would you have if you die?
Yeah, we're all gonna die
because we're
We gotta be in these books, right? Can we petition George to put us in these?
Yeah,
come on. I think we have a shot.
Yeah, four Manwoody emissaries or something that get like locked up or something. Like some kind
absolutely.
Of reference.
Absolutely. Like we get burnt by a dragon or something during the next war.
Looking for some sort of hint of a lackwit from Dorne. Like, yeah, that's probably one of us.
Well, Kyle is already in there. Remember Sir Kyle the Cat or whatever? He's already written in there.
That's right.
In there. Oh, that was in Duncan Egg, I think, right?
Yeah. That is so not me. Yes, the guy who I didn't realize was gay, and he is gay.
No, that's not Kyle, though. No. That guy hits on Kyle the Cat.
Oh, okay.
But Kyle the Cat is like the cowardly guy and stuff. Do you remember that? Like he doesn't want to fight.
Fat redhead?
He wants to try to suck up and like the fake losing the fight or something to the tourney. I think that's what he was doing.
Man, the Duncan Egg bugs are so good. I'm gonna read those again. That's what I'm gonna do.
Sounds good. That could have been Game of Thrones Mandalorian. You know, those games. I guess it still could be.
Are they doing anything with this?
We're getting the Dance of Dragons, aren't we?
I think that's what House of Dragon is, right? They're doing something to Targaryen past. That's what they're doing. But I'll be interested to see how many people actually watch when it comes out. How many people transfer over.
Yeah.
You know who got cast in it, though? Is Matt Smith.
Yeah. Is he Daemon Blackfyre or Targaryen? Who was he? He was... Oh, man. I saw that he was like a main character, and I'm like, not him. I like him as an actor. You know, Targaryens are hot.
Whoa! You gotta invoke some nerd rage with that comment, Ashley.
Are they? Do you think they really would be?
Upset? About Matt
Targaryen.
Lack of hotness?
Hot.
What are we talking about here?
I don't know. I think some of them were.
I feel like the vibe would be that they wouldn't be hot, right? Because they would just be so deeply inbred.
Oh, I always thought they were gorgeous with their golden hair.
Man, that's just Targaryens describing themselves. They probably all have the Habsburg chin.
Well, I definitely think we should be in these books. I mean, yes, as Dornish folks of one type or another. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we should die in some really awful, horrible, amazing way, right?
Yeah.
But I think easily, I mean, we're talking about what type of character you would be. I mean, Kyle, probably a hedge knight of some sort, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
A meme, some sort of maester.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Ashley.
Probably like a performer of some sort.
Mm-hmm. I can see it.
I'd be a part of a traveling troupe.
Nice. And Beanie?
Blackwit.
You could be
nailed it.
You could be there with well, actually, Mushroom is smart. Never mind. Maybe what's the other guy? Moon Boy. You can be like the tumbling partner. With
yeah, not Moon even Boy. A famous Blackwit.
You can be an emissary from yeah, the East. What's it, ET or whatever? Visiting. That's it. I think it's better.
We'll see if we end up going further into to that area in the next book.
Yeah, I don't think it's a question of if George will put us in. The question is, did he already put us in the next book?
Yeah. We're going to find ourselves in there. One more.
Well, I think if the book had come out just after we had our dinner with him, then odds were good. But it's been so many years, he may have forgotten our existence. So that's the problem.
I'm going to go with that.
Terrible.
Pretty sure he's half forgotten his plot, and that's what's keeping it for so long.
I'd like to think, you know, that George would just be appreciative that there was just this hardcore group of nerds that were still just like, no, the show, that doesn't exist. That's not real.
Yeah.
These books. That's not real. That's canon. That's the only thing that matters.
Here we are. Are there still any Game of Podcasts going on?
Oh, yeah. They're still running. Brilliant. I think a lot of them are not just focused on the show anymore. They do, like, analysis and whatnot.
Of the show.
I think they would have had to move to the books, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's any podcast that is specifically show only, just ones that started as the show and have grown from there to just be, you know, fandom encompassing.
Although at Comic-Con, they still have that Lost podcast that always seems to be, like, right before our panel. Like, they still do that. So speaking of Comic-Con, I think somebody asked about this. So would you guys ever go again, meet up at Comic-Con in a future year after this is all over?
Hell yeah! Why not?
If this, you know, the new dragon thing becomes a big thing and, you know, becomes a big deal, then I guess I'd go again.
You wouldn't go?
Yeah, probably only just to hang out with you guys. So.
Yeah, okay. Then Mimi and Ashley can meet, finally. It'll be at Comic-Con.
Love it. Hell yeah, I would definitely go again. And the seeing friends and everything is the best part of it. So,
yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. God, I got burnt out on those for a while. I took a couple years off, but.
Yeah, it's not something I'd ever do every year. It's too expensive. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I just like San Diego a lot, though, so.
It is, yeah. I mean, we upgraded from that. We're not at that burger bar anymore. We moved indoors after that. Remember the whole tequila bar situation? We found better places.
I got to work on getting you guys into all the parties.
Yeah.
Ashley's like, yeah, that'd be nice.
Mimi can get us in for Sharknado 5 or whatever the Sharknado sequel will be of that one.
What? Mimi, you got Sharknado connections?
She met the guy who made Sharknado. You remember? I was listening to some of our old podcasts. She said, like, she said something. Yeah, she met the guy who made Sharknado, the director or the writer or whatever behind it. Don't you remember?
Oh, no, I remember. Sorry. I was just Googling Song of Ice and Fire podcast because I was like, man, there's got to be a bunch of Song of Ice and Fire podcasts still. But for some reason, we're still, like, number 3 when you look up Song of Ice and Fire podcast, like the fourth search result on Apple Podcasts.
Why are we only number 3?
Well, because I imagine there's just a ton of, like, podcasts.
Other podcasts probably release more than once every 4 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we're still number 1 in George's with links. So I'll take that.
Okay, nice.
So, you guys want to get, do we have more questions, or?
Floricita asked some questions, but I think they may be too complex for us to answer, so. Yeah, he asked about, like, a certain person named Lucifer Lightbringer, who's writing a lot of stuff in the fandom. I'll answer that. Like, what we think of him, I think I read some of his works earlier that were interesting, but I'd have to review that. But I'll still mention his name. He's a big fan of the podcast, so thanks, Floricita. But otherwise, I think we've covered it pretty much, so yeah.
All right. Shout out to anyone who's still listening and keeping up with us after all these years through this agonizing, slow crawl through the books.
That was everyone.
That was a 5 shout out to our 4 fans. Love y'all. Yeah. I was like, why do we have forums anyway? Because most people just use Discord at this point.
No, they still use the forums, but for now, at least the Discord is a good alternative for backup. Mm-hmm. There's also VOChaos is on there as well. Let's see. And we're on DeviantArt as well, of course, right? Check us out on DeviantArt. If we ever finish the third art book is short, like 3 or 4 chapters. That's all we need. 3 or 4 chapters and we can have the third art book done, but like no one is doing it. Well, I think the forum being down kind of
affected. Wait, who are the people? Isn't it us? Aren't we the ones?
Yeah, it was us. No, it was us. We never did it. And then we're like, okay, anyone else want to do it? And no one else is taking the chapter.
Which one was I supposed to do again?
I can look that up. Check that or get back to you. Like,
did you message us the link for that?
Oh no, I'm trying to get it here. I got Discord open to see how do I share this thing. Actually, it might just be on the website, so I'll just send that. Let's see.
Yeah, this new Skype is so confusing. I was trying to like open up the chat, and I'm clicking all these buttons, and I took this damn screenshot, and I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, you said a screenshot of our, even, like logos.
Like, that doesn't even look like what my screen looks like. Like I don't have purple. I don't know what's going on here. Anywho. Sorry, I feel like an old man clicking around on this Skype. Why aren't we Zooming? It's weird. It is weird in 2020 to be talking to people and not on Zoom looking at them.
Mm-hmm. We can Zoom next time. Zoom is it easy to record?
I don't know if it's easy to record. I also heard that they they're listening to you and stuff. Like they keep track.
Oh. They're listening to us. God forbid we're not doing a podcast or anything.
I know. Oh man, I know we could release a Zoom episode. I'd have to clean my room, cut my hair.
Well, yeah, what we might be able to do is do a Discord one in the future. There might be a way to record Discord and we could have it like live. People could just join into the chat room or something. Because if you see, there's a lot of people in that group actually. Oh, there, Mimi's in there. Mimi hates you.
Well, I'm trying to use my actual login over here, so I'm trying to get the damn Zoom. Link. I'm trying to get the link for this Discord.
How do I get to that? Can I log into Skype on my phone and on here at the same time?
So I went to the website podcastdeviceandfire.com. I don't know why I'm talking like I'm 100 years old and I'm like website name, but that's where I went to find the link to the Discord.
I pasted it inside Skype as well. Like
you did? Okay.
Yeah, inside the chat room, the chat here. Same link though.
Yeah, but you know what? That isn't connected to the thing I use Discord on.
Mm-hmm. You're gonna have to paste it in.
So just go to the website on your phone, the podcast website on your phone, and then it's like the second post.
Oh, there's it? Okay, I see.
Episode 257. There's in the blog it says the forums went down, but we also have a Discord server.
Nice. Ooh, how's the new game, Amin?
Oh, the board game? Yeah, it's good. So it's available now on the on Steam. I mean, that's the last episode we actually did was an interview with the designers. But yeah, it's fun. I went through. I think I was the first person in the world to complete all the challenges. So.
Oh my god!
I love it. Discord is so confusing to me. Talk about feeling like an old man.
It's so weird because then I see like there's like a general chat room, a video chat room, but then it's just like this is a voice channel. Are y'all talking in here?
Not in the main. So the main text doesn't have audio. If you go into the other ones, they have audio. I mean, even made one for podcast records in theory. Could do it there. But
okay. Awesome. Thanks, Amin. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
Talk to y'all later.
All right, everybody. Awesome. Take care, stay healthy, and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and let us know. Email me about the next one.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, the most boring New Year ever, but yeah.
Hey, if you guys want to go to a Zoom party, I could get an invite.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, let me know. Yeah, maybe I'll get dressed up and go on Zoom.
All right. Keep you all in the loop. All right, guys.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Have a good night.
I was worried that I'd never get to see my kids when I started school. Because I'm like, if I'm working during the day and I go to class at night, but now that I work at home, like, oh, it's pretty cool. I get to see them during the day and then.
Every dark cloud has a silver lining, right?
Yeah, it's actually worked out really nicely for me, which is very tragic. It's been really bad overall.
Distance working, though, is it could increase. Like, that's one of the few positives to show that, yes, people actually can get work done at home. May make things more flexible in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought you were going to say, like, if distance working, it could increase, like, the amount you're working.
it actually can, though, because the problem is you don't have that divide between work and home. So if you're like, I got some extra work, it's 8 o'clock, I'll just pull it up, start working on it.
Whereas, do what my husband does and switch to a flip phone when you're off work.
Yeah.
Flip phone?
I know. He just switched to a flip phone randomly. It was very odd. But I kind of get it because, you know, you just get alerts and stuff on your phone all night. If you're, like, compulsive, you just look at it.
Mm, yep. Doing the intro or Mimi, you want to do it?
No, you are. I'm just dipping in here as the guest host.
All right. You are listening to episode number. What number is it?
It's 259 for the week of, well, this Sunday, the 20th. Remember, Mimi, when he says, like, the people, your name comes first, they'll forget you said your name. Say your name.
Is it still?
January 20th, 2000.
January.
December 20th.
Oh, my God. Sorry, we're in December. You know what?
Hard to tell anymore. Like, there was no real summer. The last summer did not count.
Also, my room looked the same regardless of the month. So, the week of December 20th, 2000. 20.